Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
The meat is still in actual meat chunks. Whatever he swallowed, that's the shape it's in his stomach right now.
This will help break that.
The kombucha.
Yeah, hell
okay,
yeah.
So we were the alcohol we were drinking is Makgeolli. It's like a homebrew Korean, like,
nice.
Right, it's like rice wine, basically, but it's like a homemade thing.
It's like kombucha fermented. Made with rice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did somebody make it?
No, it's bottled at the restaurant.
Is
yeah.
the KB?
But, whoa, but I want to make. I've been wanting to make our own since I saw.
Oh, did you guys just come from dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. That's why we're late. Because we had to go home and smoke weed because we were so full.
It's painful.
Dang.
I hadn't eaten all day, and I was I'm gonna fuck some meat up.
You went Korean barbecue?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Tay and Giselle paid for it.
Oh yeah, that was very sweet.
All right.
I didn't remember that.
That's great.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 180. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
Hi, Alia.
This is Rhett.
Hi, Alia.
Hi, Rhett.
Hi.
So it's episode 180, dude.
Yeah. You totally went like into even more radio voice.
I
like,
did. It was
you had a little bit of radio voice before you started, and then you went super radio
voice.
Yeah,
I went, hi, everybody.
Good evening. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast.
Maybe it's soothing.
Is it, though?
I think it is nice.
Soothing for George.
Probably. Yeah, just for me.
It's soothing for you. It's self-soothing.
Self-soothing. So how we doing?
Full, man.
Kind of amazing.
Bunch of meat, beef, all kinds of stuff.
Twice my gold's worth of meat.
Yeah, a lot. But it's great. Lots of meat. I'm like a shit for 2 days, but it's all good. I'm okay with that.
Jesus.
Just promotes
I'm also
more
barely
coffee
gonna
drinking
eat in the next 24 hours. Yeah.
I'm barely recovering from my kid's birthday.
Yeah, that was a lot of kids here.
Retarded.
You were doing a lot of work. We were here just hanging out for a couple hours, and you were working.
Yeah,
I was just like watching George go back and forth, watching all the kids.
We're
like,
done for another year, which I'm glad.
God. Yeah, I was like, I'm not drinking beer, and there's a lot of kids here. We should definitely go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess if you're not partying, it's not very fun to be at a kid's party.
Yeah, well, then we went to go see The Witch, so.
The Witch?
I mean, not The Witch, The Nun.
You wish. Yeah.
I wish.
That might have been a better choice.
Yeah, I wish.
So, other than The Nun, have you seen anything?
I'm sure I have. I can't really remember. We've been watching
Terrifier. Well, yeah. I hadn't seen it yet, so.
We watched Terrifier last night.
I started watching it again last night.
Super
not last
good.
Night, 2 nights ago. That's a fun movie.
Yeah, it is.
I am not familiar with this.
It's on Netflix. You can watch it right now.
Yeah, it's on Netflix right now.
All right.
It's a cool. Dread Central Presents thing. So
hands down, the best one, too.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, our dudes over there, they found this movie. And
it had been out for a while. Like, it played at Telluride Horror Show 2 years ago. And it was just like Director's Cut. It was just waiting to be picked up. And Dread Central came in and swooped it up. Mm-hmm. And they saw the potential where, for some reason, no one else did, because that movie is legit. We watched Game Night, which was really good.
That's a fun movie.
It was a lot darker than I thought it would be.
I actually audibly gagged at one moment in that movie.
Is which it when
one?
Everybody else was gagging and they were about to throw?
When she's digging at his arm get the bullet, I was like, that actually got me pretty well.
Hmm. Did Micah's birthday
record,
present make you gag?
Okay, so this is really weird. You got him this little pimple Pete thing, right? Yeah. And it's actually like made by Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, wow.
And they're not pimples that you like pop. They're these little like fucking worm things. They look like graboids. They're fucking disgusting looking.
And you pull them out of the face?
You pull them out of the face, and then it's like this little lever that if you pull it too far forward, it squirts water at you. The game itself isn't that gross, but these little worm things, they're fucking nasty, dude.
What in the hell is this?
It's a kid's game. Well, this is 2 or 3 years in a row that you've got him a gross present. It's this little game where it's got these little rubber...
It's like a face, like a big plastic face, right? And a patient with pimples, and you're going to treat his pimples.
Yeah, you pull them out, like you pluck them out one at a time.
You pull the wrong one, like the same as the crocodile with the mouth. You push the wrong tooth.
Gotcha. That's the back side of it, and you're just pulling those out. And so the way it looks, it's really fucking gross, man. I like...
Yeah, it looks like a botfly larva.
Yeah, why does it have...
It's got like spines and
shit. Yeah, why does it have those little...
It's like
spikes.
A botfly.
Yeah, it's really gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Mission accomplished.
I was and whenever I get his kid's birthday gifts, I always want to do like something gross or something that's going to be obnoxious for George and Ronnie. Like,
right.
I thought about a drum set because like... Dude,
or like, is he old enough? Is he old enough for a drum set? Like, I think he's old enough. So,
I'll probably get him into lessons next year when he's just a little bit more coordinated.
So instead, I got him the pimple game.
What's the age again?
5. He just turned 5.
He should be playing for 3 years by now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all
Dude, you can.
I would wait
till
he was 7 or 8. Personally,
start with Quinn.
Yeah, Micah's the lost cause. Just give up now.
Just give up now, with Micah.
Move on to Quinn.
Uncoordinated little dickhead.
Move on to Quinn. She's the money child.
Well, you know.
The money child.
You know about their personalities. I don't know about their personalities that much, so you know what your kids are like.
What about you, Ollie? Do you watch anything?
What we just mentioned. I've been watching by myself romances and crying a lot. I just started my period today, so the last like week has been super all duper. Just like anything that makes me cry. Yeah.
Good.
Like literally Terrifier almost made me cry in the very beginning.
That'll do it.
Ozark. We've been watching Ozark.
What do you think about this new season so far?
Love it.
I think 3 or 4 episodes into this new season.
We're like 6.
It's really, 7. Really good. Have you seen the first season?
No, sir.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, so we'll try to stay
away from spoilers. Very little streaming stuff and all that, but that'll turn over soon enough.
Soon enough. Yeah, dude.
Are you waiting for something?
Well, no. How the fuck do I say this, George? I'm just going to be candid.
Mm.
I had this long-term relationship end in March, and so I had been watching stuff with this person. So it was like
you were doing it.
Now
like
I'm like, I don't want to watch any of that shit.
Yeah.
But so I just got out of the habit. So now I'm like ready to stream some stuff again, though.
Yeah.
We got stuff for you to watch.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's quite a bit.
It kind of never quits. Yeah, you're just like backlogging it at this point.
This season, I think, is already way better than the first one.
Yeah.
Well, things like this tend to be, you know, where they're using the same characters as you get to know them, and they're actually like changing before your eyes. You know, like they change in your esteem. And so I don't know. That's how I felt with like. That's why. Who asked us earlier today? Parks and Rec or The Office?
That was Giselle.
Giselle, yeah. So that's why I'm with more Parks and Rec, because like as you get to know the characters more, you know, like they keep evolving and your favorites change and shit like that.
Yeah, in this season, like they don't have to establish things because they're already in the shit.
Right, they're already they're in the middle of the shit.
Jump right into it.
Yeah, the new angle that they're going with this casino thing, I'm like, okay, we'll see how this goes.
It gets even crazier.
Yeah.
It gets...
I mean, it was kind of a uphill road from the get-go with the groups, you know, so far. I don't know. We haven't finished yet.
What about you, dude?
I watched Searching, which is that movie with John Cho. Yeah.
We saw that, too. Well,
saw that. You slept through it.
Oh, I was really tired.
Okay, so you're being fair to the movie. You're not blaming the movie.
I'm so sleepy. No, like, I'm such a sleepyhead, I'll fall asleep anywhere.
Did you think that the first 10 minutes and the last 5-10 minutes were the best parts? Because that's the only part she was awake during. And
I watched enough to cry at the beginning and cry at the end, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that still pre-period week, or is that just...
I don't know. Was it another period week, maybe. Yeah.
That was That was the warm-up for the warm-up.
Yeah. It does last that long. Sometimes it's
That was the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
So I know you saw this movie, Matt. You didn't like it.
No, I thought it was all right. I just thought it was kind of boring.
It was hard for him to watch while I'm like sleeping on his shoulder the whole time.
I was pretty impressed with it. I mean, it's very densely plotted. I did care about the characters.
I love John Cho and everything.
I don't think it's a revolutionary film or anything, but when we had talked about freaking Dark Web, you know, I mean, I think this is aside from the first Unfriended, this is definitely the only other film that's tried to do this thing,
Oh no!
With any success,
The Den did it really well.
Which I never saw The Den. Oh,
The Den was good. Yeah. But this one, I mean, it did it pretty seamlessly. The you know, switching from cell phone to computer screen to Skype and all that stuff.
Yeah, this
and
would be a son of a bitch to structure. I mean, just thinking about, I mean, you know, I know not everyone's thinking about that when they're watching the movie, but how it moves from screen to screen and, yeah, and it's plausible, like it has a reason for that. Also, these twists, there was like so many of them, I got kind of like, I was like, oh,
twist
come on.
Burnout.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, come on after a while. But there was a couple of them, but were really powerful because there's parts where John Cho's character, he's being very, well, it turns out he's being paranoid, but you're paranoid with him because what he's reading via these texts and whatnot, yeah, it just looks, yeah, bad.
Leads you in the same direction that it's obviously leading him.
Yeah, immediately in the same direction, you know, so it's kind of like a little, it does point out in that sense how, you know, I mean, part of the mission was to show how dangerous some of this stuff can be. So just misinterpreting a fucking text, you see.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I thought I did that.
So you recommend the movie?
Well, yeah. I mean, some people find it a little,
I think it's for when you're in the mood to sit down and really pay attention to something, kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's not necessary to see in a theater. Certainly
not.
No,
not at all. You don't miss anything.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't gain anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of weird. It's kind of interesting to see those kind of displays on a big screen, but that's just.
Well, that's kind of how Unfriended the first time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
When they did the screensaver on like the big theater screen, I really wish I had mushrooms because it was so cool and so big.
Oh, it was bouncing around? Yeah.
Yeah.
Those lines? Was it the toasters?
Cool. No, it's just like the Mac one where it's like the three colorful lines that are all bendy and they bounce.
This real kind of abstract, artful thing out of this everyday thing that you've seen. You've seen these screensavers, but you've never seen it like in that format. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. You never went to the theater
and watched
to look
the fucking
at that.
Screensaver.
Yeah, you were
exactly.
bored in a classroom when you saw that shit, or
yeah,
at home.
In a totally different context, you know, so it was different.
Neat.
What?
I said neat.
It was super neat. Wait, I saw The Meg.
What'd you think of The Meg?
It was like a Sci-Fi Channel movie, but with, you know, a couple, like, maybe 60 or 70 million more dollars thrown at it.
Yeah.
So it was not good.
Oof.
No blood.
No, and that's the thing too. I mean, there's some fun to be had if it because it's camp. It's aware of its campiness, but not like aware enough to just go fucking all in with it. You know, just go all in with it. And the, you know, I don't go to that movie expecting. I didn't expect it to be good, but I go out of curiosity. I got the AMC thing, you know.
I'm expecting it to be fun, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the time it's just really,
the
really annoying.
The poster is fun.
Like, yeah. It had cool advertising.
So Deep Blue Sea, it's not, is what you're saying.
No.
Did Jason Statham use sharks as skis?
Jason Statham, they should have just had him wrestle the shark at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's kind of
super goofy with it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
To subvert your expectations of Jason Statham and just kill him off.
And there's lines in the script, like I can remember one. What was it? That living fossil just killed my friend. There's lines like that.
Dope.
See what I mean? So lines like that, I'm like,
masterful,
yeah,
writing.
But then the rest, it doesn't.
Well, I'm waiting for that. If you're just going to be straight up, you know, like, wow, I'm waiting for the next line like that.
what was that one movie where those one? Girls, they go to like Peru and they go in that swamp thing and that girl gets infected?
What?
You still want to have a baby with me?
Oh, it was Bite.
Yeah, Bite.
Oh,
have you
my
seen
God.
Bite?
But, no,
oh,
I don't.
God, watch Bite.
Bite,
dude,
is way off your radar, dude. It's the
dude,
worst.
Some good dialogue,
dude.
Oh, my God.
But it's
God.
Got, like, stupid lines like that.
It's some bad shit.
I think it was one of the worst movies that we'd seen that year.
I liked
it. Was it last year?
It was like three years ago.
Dude,
it was so on stupid. The list for sure.
Sounds like a contender for sure.
Let's see.
So that's are you
that's
the Meg?
I also saw Hereditary's on video.
Mm-hmm.
I rewatched it,
mm-hmm,
and I was very pleased with it. And mm-hmm, the special features. I don't know if you watched the special features. I'm a kind of guy who goes fucking bonkers over special features.
Yeah.
These were pretty informative ones. It's not hours and hours upon hours, but about the art direction, the little details in it, and you kind of see some stuff. You wonder if you're reading too much into things, and it's like, nope. They were being really fucking meticulous.
Yeah.
You know?
Did they have a reshoot of the ending? I know that there was some speculation. There was a different version of the ending.
I did not see if they, yeah, I didn't see that on the DVD.
Because, man, that floaty body thing still is the only thing that bothers me.
Yeah,
it was so out of place.
We were talking about Hereditary not too long ago. When would he hang out with Chris?
Micah's birthday.
When did we see him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I got to say, kind of like at the end of summer almost, I mean, of the horror movies I saw this summer, I mean, that was the feel-bad movie of the summer for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Mother was last year, where it was just, you were like, well, this doesn't make me feel good at all.
Yeah, it's like anxious and stressed and depressed.
It's that art house horror, bro. Post-horror.
Mother all the time. I regularly think about wanting to watch that again, just... And I don't even care about finishing it, strangely enough. Like, just the... Just
Which,
like
Mother
how,
or Hereditary?
Mother. Like, how effective it was at, like, giving me, like, the feeling of anxiety, which without actually feeling like I'm falling into anxiety.
Yeah.
Because it's, like... Well, and each... It's just...
Each scene is so effective. Like, you could watch just a scene and be like, okay, that's enough.
I'll watch turn it that like off a short right film. Now. Like... Yeah.
Cool. Hereditary?
Hereditary. Anything and else? I never got to talk about it, but, you know, when I first started doing this with you guys, I'm an action movie guy. I saw Mission Impossible Fallout 4 times. That shit was fucking amazing.
It sounds like 4 times too many.
If you like action movies, well, I'm not alone in this. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
it's
like everybody watched the movie.
it was damn good. Mm. Probably the best of the series, and it's at number 6. So it's like... I give it.
It's pretty. That series is really consistent. It makes, like it's real good.
Well, yeah, for a popcorn freaking, you know, the action movie, a PG-13 popcorn Tom Cruise fest. Watching that guy fucking run, I think Scientology might have something going on. When
that
I
wasn't
this movie.
That was another movie that gave me a little bit of
money, dude. No, it's not the Scientology.
That movie gave me a lot of twist fatigue.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah, I was like, man, they're not going to do it. Yep, they are. They're going to fucking twist it around again. I just, you know, a little bit too much.
I'd venture to say that freaking the one we were talking about, Searching, actually has even more than that.
Huh.
Believe it or not. Don't you think? I mean, it had a lot of...
quite a few.
I can't say.
It was like, it overstayed its welcome, like 3 twists in at the end, I'd say, almost.
Yeah, I could see that. I honestly just thought the middle was so slow.
Yeah.
I just didn't care.
I'd agree with you in the middle part, yeah.
Anything else, dude?
No, that's about it.
Cool. So other than Ozark, I have been listening to... So this is weird. So it's a book called Sleeping Beauties, and it's by Stephen King and Owen King.
Who's Owen King?
Who the fuck is that?
It's his son.
Nah, see, we don't need no nepotism.
That's the Joe Hill guy?
No, it's another son.
Oh.
So it's like Jaden Smith of horror novelists?
Oh my god! I would love to read a horror novel with somebody that just like has their mind that far in fucking space.
That would be good.
Here's what I don't know. Like, I haven't researched far enough to know like what each one wrote, but at its core, this book is about, and it's centered around a prison, which is kind of weird. But it's about women who kind of go into a coma. And then they have this like cocoon like wrapping that forms over their face.
Okay.
And their moths are very, very involved in this book so far. I just got to the point where literal moths. I just got to the point where shit is about to hit the fan. I can feel like the rhythm of Stephen King's books. It's kind of like it's about to get crazy. And I'm like 30 chapters in of 300. So like I don't know where it's going to go from here.
God damn.
Yeah, I think it's 300 hours is the book. It's super long. So it's going to take me a while to get through. But so far I really dig it. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how they split up the writing because it's by both of them. I'll do a little bit more research and report back when I kind of find out. But so far, it's really good, and the narrator is really fun. So far, I recommend it.
Have you, are you caught up on Castle Rock?
No.
Dude, this last episode is so what the fucky. They are not answering any questions at all.
And there's only one before the finale, huh?
It
came out already, right? The finale?
No, if there's only one left, it would be tomorrow. Yeah, dude, it just made things so fucking weird and so complicated. We'll I wish see. You'd seen it because I have no idea what's going
that's
on.
That's on Amazon or Hulu?
Hulu.
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 And I'm sure he had a Hulu. But that's all
Rings,
we ever saw of it.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll need to catch up. You got Channel Zero to catch up with.
Yeah.
Channel Zero is cool.
Did anyone watch that Philip K. Dick show that was trying to jock freaking Black Mirror
a little bit? That was on Amazon too, right?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I didn't see it, but I heard about that.
Electric Dreams. There's also that Jack Parsons one, Strange Angel.
No idea.
You don't know about that one?
No, I don't.
It's a cultist who is also a rocket scientist. True story.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Neat.
Have you ever seen Return to Oz?
I have. That's a great movie.
Is it fucking crazy?
It's fucking really crazy.
It is.
That movie scared me a lot when I was a kid, actually.
So we've never seen it.
Like,
and we started listening to this podcast called Creepy.
My American pop culture from like youth is minimal.
Oh, okay.
You know, like my family, I grew up watching novelas.
Yeah, I grew up in a pretty religious household. That's the kind of movie where even though it's PG, my dad said it was satanic.
When we would,
so you know it's good.
We would like secretly we'd rent like the horror movies that didn't have a scary cover when my mom took us to the video store, and then when we would like stay over at our auntie's, you know, she would let us rent like Child's Play and like let us watch like all the fucking Tales from the Crypt or rent them.
You might have gotten away with Return to Oz because the cover didn't look especially scary.
Nope.
But that's why we wouldn't have rented it. You skipped that's why we wouldn't have rented it as when we were kids. It was all like anime and horror movies when we were kids.
So wait, what's the story?
So we started watching this show or listening to this podcast, Creepy, and it's like creepy pasta, but they were talking about Return to Oz, and they started talking about like
I've heard that podcast before. Is that the one with the narrator that's kind of hard to like.
Yeah, he talks real slow.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I don't really like the way he narrates.
I like the show though, and I was like, man, I didn't know anything about Return to Oz like this. Return to Oz, stroke. Return to Oz sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah, the bad guy's this lady named Ozma. She takes her heads off.
Yeah, she's
got all these different heads
and like.
And there's these guys called the Wheelers, and they go in the
sand.
Like,
instead of the flying monkeys, they're like these rollerblading fucks.
Yeah,
it's amazing, dude.
Electroshock therapy at a freaking asylum. Mm-hmm. They got that stuff. You don't know if Dorothy's just like fucking mental.
Yeah, it seemed like it was kind of like a coma dream or something, but then it's like real.
Alice in Wonderland shit going on.
And it's Firouza Balk at her, like, just before I think she went nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And like the Scarecrow is like actual nightmare fuel. It's
like Jack Skellington.
He's got a fucking jack-o'-lantern head.
Yeah.
It looks like Jack Skellington kind of thing almost. Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty sweet.
And then like the carriage that they ride her on is like a bathtub. It's a couch with like a moose head attached to it. It's nuts, dude. And that movie's bonkers.
And the Rock King, the Mountain King.
Yeah.
It's all stop motion animation. And he eats. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, dude.
I gotta watch this.
Yeah, it's good, man. So we got Predator coming out next week.
Yes, we do.
And it's already been some preview reviews.
Oh, I haven't
seen it. I have purposely stayed away because I want to go into it blind.
I looked.
But we found a little tidbit out about old Shane Black and his and one of his buddies.
Yep.
So a scene was removed because Olivia Munn found out that one of the actors is a sexual predator, right?
Yes. Convicted sex offender.
Convicted sex offender. He was doing some stuff with like a 14-year-old online and got like...
He was attempted to lure a 14-year-old into a sexual relationship
2 years, right?
Via the internet. I don't see it in this one.
Okay, anyways.
So anywho, she brought it up to Shane Black's attention and his like... was weird. So his reasoning was kind of like, you know, I wanted to give him a second chance and, you know, we all make mistakes and blah, 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 and he's done his time and whatnot. And like his follow-up to that
doesn't
was...
Does it really seem like a mistake?
His follow-up was kind of like, well, I didn't really know what he had done. I didn't know to what extent. And it's like, are you sure you didn't fucking know what he really actually did?
Like he had to have known. Come on, you ain't that stupid. If you ask somebody, especially if you're that close to it, they're going to know the truth. Too.
Well, yeah, like, you know, if somebody was, you know, well, I don't want to go into that, actually. It just seems like if Shane Black was like, okay, well, he got arrested for something. Maybe do like 2 seconds of research and find out if your buddy is still fucked up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that shit in Hollywood.
Well, that doesn't sound like a mistake exactly. You know, that doesn't seem like, ooh, I accidentally did it. That sort of seems like something I do, but ooh, I got caught at it.
Yeah, because when I heard he was a registered sex offender, I'm like, okay, but for what? Because like, you can become a sex offender by like pissing near an elementary school if you get caught.
That is true.
This is true.
You know, like, so if it's something...
And how many non-registered sex offenders are there? So, but, especially in fucking Hollywood.
If you're a registered sex offender for something like that, it's like, well, okay.
Literally
like,
everyone at Nickelodeon.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to defend Shane. I'm just saying it's probably not his first encounter with a sex offender.
But
yeah.
Still, though.
Given his duration in the business. But
the thing is, though, like, he got caught, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but you know, then, absolutely. Shit, the issue dude, is that caught. Olivia Munn thought that Shane Black should have told the other actors, and then she told all the other actors because she didn't want them to, quote, be blindsided by it.
Yeah. It's a weird situation, man, because she's
kind of like none of her business to be blasting it, but
I think she just wanted to make a name for herself because nobody even knew she was in this movie.
She's been out of the headlines for a while,
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's one or the other. I think that's probably
maybe both.
On some level, of course, some motivation. Absolutely.
Because it's like, really, oh, this guy had a small part in this movie. I'm so offended. I don't want him in the movie.
Righteous indignation is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I do know, like, she had this, she basically, what her press tour has been is basically been her by herself for this movie.
Yeah.
And she was making these statements about, like, how, like, none of her co-stars are backing her up. Mm. But come to find out that they've been supportive of her. So I don't know, like, what.
I did see briefly Sterling Hayden came to her, support her, supposedly. That's the black dude, the guy from the mm-hmm. OJ show. Who did really good. Did you guys watch that show?
No.
Completely non sequitur. Great fucking show, by the way.
What's it called?
It was American Crime Story. The one where they reproduced the entire OJ trial.
Oh, I want... Yeah, that's insane. Been on the queue forever.
It was freaking... It's really worth... If you watch one episode, you won't be able to stop. No, it's crazy. But anyway. Yeah, Sterling K. Hayden or whatever his name is. Mm. Yeah, he came to
her defense. I don't know. It's a weird situation because It seems like she feels like she's not being supported at all. But from what I've seen, like
it sounds like
some of the people were like, "Well, we just weren't there at TIFF, which is going on, was going on." And then you know, none of her interviews have been with her co-stars. I don't know, like how much of it is just her feeling abandoned, or if
that might be the reason. Like that might be the reason that she's doing it all alone is because she has actually been abandoned. You know, they're like, we're not going to put our opinions or anything about the movie close to you because we know you're going to insist on talking about this.
Right.
Kind of deal.
Well, I mean, that brings up like, that same situation that we've talked about sort of over and over again about what's his name from Jeepers Creepers. Because, like, you know.
Everyone is a hypocrite. The only thing that's up to you is where do you draw that line?
And I think there's a big difference between a person who's in charge of the entire production, who is hiring and working around children,
and writing,
versus an actor who's in one scene. I mean, because they cut the scene he was in, so it couldn't have been that much. So an actor who's in one scene, I mean, is he just not supposed to work ever again? Like... And if he is supposed to work at McDonald's?
And I don't want to I don't want to be the guy because, who's like justifying
pedophilia. What if he was like a priest? Excuse me, you know, like what would you?
Nobody would care.
No. But if it was like the same sort of situation, you know, like we're all paying attention and stuff. Say like,
I don't want to. I don't want to condone pedophilia, but at some point, like,
well, you're not.
Has somebody done their time enough to forgive that? I don't know. Like, you know, it's been a number of years since he fucked up.
I have defended.
What you're talking about is empathizing with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have spoken up about empathizing with pedophiles and like, not like specifically like, because I know there's a lot of pedophiles that do not harm children, you know, like they feel really guilty about the things they want and stuff like that. And I've posted about that before and people have always told me that it's like, oh, you're too nice.
Extremely like controversial fucking topic, you know.
I mean, because I wonder like with like a... And I don't want to like liken drug addiction to pedophilia.
No, it's destigmatize it to fix the problem.
A ridiculous comparison, but like you're a drug addict, even if you're clean, you're always got that monkey on your back,
you're
right?
Still an
addict. Like, is it does it is it the same?
Yeah, well, I think it differs from person to person, but yeah, if it's yeah, that's the from what I understand.
For some people, it's a brain tumor. There's a story about a guy in, like, Texas or something that, like, he developed a brain tumor, and the only reason he realized is he went to the doctor because he was suddenly attracted to his, like, stepdaughter.
I don't even know how philosophical you'd want to go about this on a podcast.
Let's look
at ancient Greece.
Let's go.
Look at ancient Greece.
Okay. No, okay, no, let's not. Too philosophical.
Okay, well, I didn't create democracy. Those motherfuckers did, and it was the norm. Period.
Right.
But those things all changed, too.
They did change. But I'm saying it's relative to the time and place. So just like any illness or sickness is, okay? So does that have to do with me condoning? No,
it doesn't. If you go to, like, Saudi Arabia, it's pretty common for, like, a military general
my thing.
You want to go there, like, we're going there.
It doesn't matter if I condone or condemn it. That doesn't prevent it from happening.
Period. Well, I guess my question is, this guy who was in this scene in Predator, scene's been taken out, right? Like, at what point?
I mean, he still got paid though. Even he did the work, so he still got paid.
At what point does he stop being demonized? Is my actual question.
Never, because he's in the public eye. Never.
In another week or so after this blows over,
and
the next thing comes out, no one gives a fuck about Olivia Munn. Like, it's true. Not for more than a week.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not trying to sound cynical, but let's be serious.
Her name has been out of the headlines for a couple
years.
She's
not a great actress. She got by on her looks in the fact that she was a quirky personality.
She made a big splash. Yeah, like made a big splash.
But it's not sustainable.
Yeah, I agree. And something to consider is, like, to what extent would this influence the opening weekend box office? Honestly, I think it's pretty negligible.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a particularly. I could be wrong. I don't. There's some interest, some curiosity about it.
There might be more because of it.
There might be I don't. You never know
for
if this is the
like
kind
this?
Of thing.
Well, not if the scene's been taken out.
No. But people.
You never
maybe,
know if bad publicity
not,
is good
huge,
business for even this kind of bad publicity.
It hasn't had marketing like budget. Predator. Like I've seen it around and I've seen it in the theaters and stuff. But
well, what I'm saying is a curiosity for the the movie would have been if that scene was still in there. You know what I mean? Like I think it
maybe being, they'll put it on the DVD.
I think if Fox said no, it's done. It's done.
Did Fox say no or did
it came from the ups. So it's fucked.
I hope it wasn't an important scene.
It's got Olivia Munn in it, so probably not.
No. She's like in the whole movie, I think.
All right. Well, that's
it's a heavy front end.
Jesus Christ.
Edit. Mm. Edit.
Let's make some more dick jokes, can't we?
Cut it out. Patreon content.
Maybe.
Sorry.
We got anything else news-wise?
No.
Nothing?
No.
There's got to be something. We just don't know about it.
I mean,
it.
Jordan Peele's in production or in talk to produce a Candyman remake.
Nice.
Halloween screened and everyone's saying that it's very, very bloody.
Yep.
Very gory. Good for...
Stayed away from those reviews,
read
too.
Very good things. Action-y they say man. It's a true return to form.
Mm. I'm in.
I also saw good reviews about The Nun, but...
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about The Nun. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
We're back. What's up with
in San Diego?
Patreon, my dude.
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is where the least dumbest of all of you go.
The least dumbest.
They understand that that's how you help us continue doing this awesome show. You know, it's not super expensive to do the show, but it sure as hell ain't free. And every little bit we get helps. And for helping us out, you get an extra episode every month. You get the episodes in advance of the general public. You get bonus content, exclusive merchandise, and you can help us pick the movies. So go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. Or go to whogoestherepodcast.storynv.com and buy a shirt or something awesome like that.
Go to Patreon to be the undumbest person.
The undumbest. You're less dumb than everybody else if you buy a shirt, but you're less dumb if you go to Patreon.
I like that logic. I'm way in on that shit. Okay, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2018's The Nun, directed by Corin Hardy, written by Gary Dauberman, James Wan.
How's that name spelled? Because it sounds a lot like corn.
C-O-R-I-N, Corin Hardy. Speaking of corn, Jonathan Davis' wife just passed away like a couple weeks ago.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Was she down with the sickness?
Dude, not fucking funny.
A sickness. Oh. Yeah, she God. Was a little mentally messed up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I was
feeling like a freak on a leash.
I was scrolling through like Goldfinger because we just went to the show not that long ago. And I was looking through their fucking Instagram, and he had posted a little thing about her. And I was like, "Damn, what the hell happened?"
That's sad.
She took her own life, which That's is always sad. A really big bummer. Yeah. The Nun is starring Damian Bichir, Thaisa Farmiga, Jonas Bloque, Thaisa.
Thaisa Farmiga.
Bonnie Ahrens, Ingrid Bizu, Charlotte Hope, Sandra Tellis, August Maturo, a bunch of mother Thaisa Farmiga's
fine ass.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of The Nun?
This movie was painfully dull. Like, really fuck. I watched it twice.
Why?
Because I forgot everything that happened in it. We watched it on what, Saturday? Today's Tuesday. I had to watch it again because I couldn't remember anything. It was so bad to the point that I showed up 5 minutes late today, and I didn't remember what happened during those 5 minutes until later in the movie. And then I'm like, oh, right, that thing happened. No, it's very forgettable. It's very boring. Jump scares are super predictable and overly abundant. There's great atmosphere.
You thought the jump scares were overly abundant?
Yes, there's.
Oh my god, it was like every other scene.
I didn't think there were enough scares.
Well, they were telegraphed too. Like,
yeah,
here comes the jump scare.
Not only that, but it was like that thing where they would.
You don't feel them.
They would pan the camera to the left.
Yep.
Pan the camera to the right. And then you're like, it's going to be on the left, isn't it? Sure enough, there it is. Anywho,
no, this time they got you because then they would go left and then they would go slightly right and then it's there.
I was so irritated.
You were irritated by the movie?
Yeah. Although I'm always down to look at Thaisa Farmiga looking all cute and making sex noises and stuff. But dressed like a nun. I don't know. That kind of got me going.
Yep.
Dude, that moment when she's digging the guy out of the
She was eye fucking the Frenchman.
Oh, that Frenchman was so hot too.
Dude, they dig graves faster than anyone in the world in this movie.
Well, we'll get to it. Rhett, what do you think of The Nun?
Sex noises.
I thought it was not good.
It wasn't.
Let me start with some pros because I haven't heard any of that. I thought the castle, like itself, the atmosphere. I thought the atmosphere and the set design, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was they must have filmed an actual castle because a lot of it was.
Yeah, and they built some good little sets here and there, like when they had the creepy nun with the veil over her face in that room and the big red freaking symbol thing on the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and some of the lighting was really interesting when she got too.
The lighting was okay.
They had some really cool imagery, like that scene in the graveyard with all the crosses and that nun standing.
All the catacombs.
Yeah. Right. There was some good motifs there. I mean, yeah, you could tell the production values for a horror movie like this. I mean, because they're coming on the heels of the other Conjuring movies. These movies have made a lot of fucking money. Mm-hmm. So they gave this one a little bit of money.
This one already made six times its budget.
$130 million worldwide open right now.
Well, Thaisa Farmiga's a sweetheart, too, for like this whole like genre because of American Horror Story.
Right.
And she's dressed as a nun.
Yeah. I thought the intro kind of, you know, when it had the nun jumping out of the castle and hanging herself. Mm-hmm. It was some gore in there.
It made you curious about the reasons.
Yeah.
And like,
I was like,
story
is this going to hit hard? I was like, wow, this might hit a little hard. Okay, cool. And then, no.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, the characters are thin, obviously. The priest guy.
They could have not been, though. That's the thing, too. They had so much time.
Yeah,
to
they
work
only had three
them.
Characters.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This nun, which is so menacing, the movie starts with three people and it ends with three people. Not one fucking person died. Like, this nun accomplished zero kills.
You know the main
character, no one died. And I thought the French guy was there to die. I thought he was there to die.
Well, yeah, he's a red shirt.
The most irritating thing about this nun is she's a fucking like prankster demon.
That's what I'm saying.
Like there wasn't any like there she was all fucking no cum, dude. Like
which is kind of like a fun. The movie's kind of like a fun house.
It is. And that, I mean, scare people. She was like, you know what? I'm not going to kill anybody, but what I am going to do is I'm going to show you some spooky shit.
I'm going to spook him, but good.
But I'm gonna bury this priest alive, and then I'm gonna give him a way to contact the outside world because I'm a trickster demon.
Yeah, and it doesn't line up with the rest of the mythology because this is a fucking demon named Valak and whatever, and this whole history of this place is death, 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 death. So it's like, okay, throw down. Where is it? And here's the
now
thing,
he's
too.
Now playing games.
And why is the shotgun the most effective weapon against the fucking supernatural in this movie?
Shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. And are they zombies? Are they ghosts? What's the rules here?
Yeah, when we left, I was like, why was there a zombie in this movie?
They had those Silent Hill nurses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I feel very almost exactly the same as you guys. I mean, I think that opening shot was actually pretty effective. There is a ton of good cinematography and atmosphere with that castle.
It's sad that it almost makes you think that if it was about side characters, it would be a better movie.
True.
Because they did a better job on the side characters.
Yeah. But man, oh man, do I not give a fuck about anybody in this movie.
Hey, weirdly enough, especially the French guy had a better fleshed out story than the actual Dumaine character.
Well, sorry about that fucking audio fuckaroo. That's my fault.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. We were talking about the Frenchman. Well, you were talking about the Frenchman.
We were talking about how, like, we didn't care about any of the characters.
Yeah.
Because literally from the beginning, well, I guess spoilers from here on out.
Do we spoilers spoil from anything? Here on out. I mean,
spoilers from since look, the break on out.
Look, man.
I don't think we spoiled anything other than.
We probably
not
spoiled
liking
shit
it.
Since before the break.
Here's what I'm
going to
tell you. In terms of, like, recommendation for this movie, if you enjoyed, like, the Conjuring series past. The second Conjuring movie, you might like this, but this is not a good film. So I do not recommend watching this movie, personally.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Absolutely the same.
Okay. So,
but
spoilers
from
here on out.
From the beginning, they just jump out and they're like, oh, hey, here's this dude. He's a priest. Hey, priest, go find this nun. We don't know why she's important, but go find her. And then they're off on their merry way.
The priest, by the way, is the most useless fucking priest I've ever seen in one of these movies. He gets cast against the wall like 15 times. He gets buried alive.
Is he a Farmiga character in Conjuring shit?
I don't know.
I feel like I've seen him before. He looks so familiar.
He was in Weeds. He was cartel boss in Weeds.
I meant by these movies, I meant like movies with priests and exorcism stuff.
Right. Well, I mean,
not that there's exorcism. You know what I'm saying?
What's weird is that any of the praying in this movie was ineffective. Like it meant nothing.
That's what happens when you send thoughts and prayers.
A shotgun.
That's what you need.
Yeah, bring a shotgun to an exorcism is basically the bit. What was crazy about the Frenchman, whatever the fuck his name was, like
Frenchie.
It almost seemed like that character was played as pure comedy. And that's what was
I thought he was
mostly
like
jarring to me.
He's like, I'm French Canadian.
Yeah.
Like when he brings that fucking cross
into
the bar, I go, is this for comedic effect?
Well,
what is this bullshit?
Yeah,
then there was that line later where he's like, holy shit, and it's like the holiest of shit, or the holiest, something like that. Like
that was the priest, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the comedy in this seemed really out of place.
I do have a question what you guys thought regarding the mythology of this. If it's fucking super obvious, I just want to make sure. It kind of was to me. Farmiga, is she young? I started thinking she's the young. What's the lady in the Conjuring?
I don't
think it's a 20-year gap.
Her sister.
And she's I think wasn't the other character a nun beforehand too?
I don't believe it's supposed to be the same character because her name is
different. She's supposed to be a real person.
Her name is different, and I think they were just sort of telegraphing like a little bit.
This is also before the Conjuring events.
Yeah, but it's like 20 in 52, right? Yeah. And she's younger.
Yeah.
So about a 20-year difference.
Yeah, she could be playing her sister, I guess, except her eyes are the different color.
No, she'd be playing herself, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
But that girl is her sister.
Yeah, the girl that played...
No, I understand that.
The actress is her
sister.
But
what Rhett's saying is the character is...
The younger version
what's her name?
Of the
what's,
sister.
What the hell is the couple's name?
Warren.
The Warrens?
Irene?
Yeah, I think you're
Irene
right.
Warren?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. If we look on the internet, this theory is going around.
That it is her. Well, yeah, I think the connection is Frenchie. I think because he is possessed at the end still.
Sure.
That yeah. that's the connection to that first
Lorraine.
Yeah, he's like, Lorraine, I'm going to get out of this world.
What it
and
is,
explore.
Is like when.
That does kind of make it more interesting.
When Lorraine touches him.
But also, she has the visions.
So that's the thing is when she touches him, she gets visions of Ed's death in the future. That's what they're implying there at the end.
Right.
Yeah. Which, see, like, how's Homeboy, when he's leaving the church, not going to realize he has an upside down cross scar on the back of his neck?
He's possessed. He does. I mean, I think at that point, he's not him.
He's possessed. Yeah,
yeah. I think the idea too that she's having the clairvoyant visions, only, able to see the dead.
Only nun here.
That's a lot of coincidences.
Yeah,
she looks like her. She's a nun. She has the clairvoyance, etc., etc. I mean,
that's it's not a coincidence anymore.
So,
yeah,
it's too many breadcrumbs for it not to be like
right. And
her.
So, and yeah. if that's what they're doing, which I think it is, I kind of respect them for not making it like some overtly like. Info drop fucking thing. It's like it leaves it up to you to figure it out. I kind of
wait. What the end?
They did if it's her. They did a couple info drops in the beginning and end, right?
Like, well, I mean, this film, the movie is trying to like catch people up that haven't seen any of the Conjuring movies.
When, that's true.
You know, it's the thing is I kind of like Valak as a villain. Like, I kind of like the character of the
but
nun.
But you didn't even really see...
It wasn't enough of him.
That's what I... Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. Like, I like that demon as
a demon.
The antagonist. I needed to see way, way more of the demon itself and not, like, these puppets that it's throwing at these people, man. Because, like, you got the head nun and the throne.
Yeah.
And then all these other nuns that are projections of the people that have already died. It's
the electricity nun and the spider nun.
Taking up all the screen time, basically, and you learn nothing
about
the demon.
And then the fucking zombie nun. It's just like, why is this demon who is at the mouth of hell...
Exactly right.
Just fucking around with them. It
just felt like an even shittier version of the church, except with no Baphomet sex.
Right.
No freaking lethality to this thing.
Yeah.
It kills no one in the film.
It even stabs the priest even gets stabbed.
Did he get stabbed in the dick? Because
no,
it
was
like he got stabbed in the dick.
That's what I thought it was at first.
I saw it twice and I'm like, he got stabbed in the dick.
I did think he got stabbed in the dick, but it was like in his kidney or something like that. But yeah, man. There is, first off, Rhett was saying there's zero lethality to this demon. And second off, it almost seems like she's just fucking around. She's just like, I'm at the head of this mouth of hell and just kind of hanging out and, doing demon-y things.
Just need a soul. Just cruise on down whenever you guys come here. Otherwise, I'm just going to fuck with you for a while.
Yeah. And then the biggest bullshit of this fucking movie, somehow Jesus' blood... gets dropped into this thing.
So I was thinking about that.
I'm like,
Jesus is up on the cross and somebody's like, you know what? We should totally take some of his blood. That shit'll come in handy, I bet. Like, why would they have Jesus' blood? Although, I will say that spitting the blood of Christ into somebody's face is
pretty metal.
Fucking metal. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty fucking badass.
I agreed. I was like, oh, cool, when that happened. Even though it didn't make any fucking sense.
No.
But I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and also, like, Valak is this super powerful being, but, like, her death of choice is drowning her? Like, what the fuck?
Choking her and drowning
her. Throw her a snake in her throat, blow her up from the inside, be done
Rip
with this
her
dumbass.
Fucking throat out.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We're throwing these dudes all around the room, but it's like, I'm just going to choke you and drown you.
Give her fundamentally flawed. They only had three people to kill, and so how do you have a body count with three characters?
So were none of these nuns
there was a bunch
actually
of side
there?
There's a bunch of side characters. They're already fucking dead.
Wait. But yeah.
But they
we're,
didn't have to be.
But
and
were the
we
nuns
could
actually
more about
there?
The
no.
If they were...
That's true.
If they were actually nuns there, you know, that were getting killed off in the Night of Vespers.
The nuns,
that's what I mean. It's poorly conceived for that reason, you know? Yeah. Like, they didn't have to have...
The nuns that were there were all dead already.
So they were like ghost nuns. Yeah.
They were
we
kind
could
of,
have watched them all die.
Valak was using them as, like, puppets again.
Well, I also think... I kind of think they were in limbo, perhaps.
And
keeping the evil contained. That's kind of what I started conjecturing.
So was Thaisa Farmiga the only one who could see them, or could Frenchie and Burke see them too?
Well, I think they were each giving them their own, or Valak was giving them their own visions. Sort of haunting. Oh, okay. So, you know, Frenchie got zombie.
At the very beginning, I thought that it was like nuns getting tricked into staying at that convent and sort of like keeping the seal, like with their prayer vigils or whatever, like until that night. Like I thought they were actually trying to trick Thaisa Farmiga into being locked into that place and sort of like being the keeper of that place now. Yeah. From the very beginning, I was like, oh dude, they're gonna trick her. Don't go. She was gonna
be stuck there forever.
One of the more effective moments that I thought was actually kind of what got me a little bit in terms of like creepiness was when Frenchie took them down into the first time he took them down to the catacombs where he leaves the supplies, the
delivery stuff.
And he says like, oh, I didn't leave the body like that. It was laying down. I was like, okay.
Of course it was.
I go, I'm sufficiently creeped out at this point. I'm in.
That's such a simple thing though, too. It's nothing to do with how this was shown or anything like that. It was just a line.
I would have loved if he would have been like, no, I'm kidding. That's how I left it.
No, and then the fucking priest goes, well, you know, sometimes bodies do that. I go, really, bro?
Yeah, it's
fuck out of here.
All the muscles tensed up and it caused her to sit up.
Dr. Exorcism over here.
Sometimes
the bodies sit up.
Sit up.
Yeah, and they move. Yeah.
Did you see it in a full theater or an empty theater?
It was like three-quarter full.
How did people react?
I was sitting far enough away to not really hear anybody.
Our theater was packed.
They were laughing.
It was all like reserve your own seat too, and more people laughed than anything.
Yeah, it was one of those movies that was unintentionally funny, even when it was trying to be serious.
Yeah,
when I checked out 1000% was when so a priest gets buried alive. Fucking Thaisa manages to dig him out somehow.
Dude, she's the fastest hole digger in the world.
Yeah.
Because
she's fucking super athletic.
Okay, hold on. They buried the first nun.
She only dug up the
front part of
the...
Oh, wait. No, hold on. They buried the first nun. She dug him up. Then they buried all the other nuns that were in the fucking thing. She dug so many graves.
A lot of graves.
By herself.
But so the priest gets buried alive. She digs him back up. And then there's these books at the bottom of his grave.
That he had to have been laying on?
Oh, yeah.
That he had zero fucking idea what they were. Yeah. And he goes, maybe these will help us. And
I go, No. It was, maybe these books will shine some light on our answer. Because I remember thinking, like, that is the weirdest phrased sentence I've heard in a long time.
This movie, the crazy thing about this movie is it's equal parts shitty horror movie and equal parts shitty
movie
Indiana Jones movie, because like when they were like, you know, they found
which could have been cool. I'm not saying it was, but yeah, sorry.
Yeah, when they get to the point where they find that statue of the Virgin Mary,
she's like E.T.
when she's pointing, and I go, she's not pointing at what you're fucking saying she's pointing at, and it's a fucking keyhole which leads to where the fuck?
Did you forget the magical faded crossword puzzle that like led him to enlightenment?
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
He looks at the crossword puzzle and they're like, done, thoughts connecting, like, all these things happening.
The answer is deliveries. This guy makes deliveries.
Delivery room. That's a part of the fucking father's prayer.
Dude, there is
some serious
national treasure shit going on in this movie. And it was fucking unbelievable.
I've always had these visions, but they always ended the same way. Mary points the way. And like, in some goofier than Goonies shit, there's a ray of light coming down, striking Mary's finger, lighting it up like E.T., and shining directly on a keyhole.
And that's where they find Jesus' blood.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, look, I'm no Catholic historian.
Nope.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
Come on.
But Jesus' blood ain't gonna end up in some fucking shitty monastery in Romania.
He had a lot of fucking blood, man.
Especially if the church knows about that monastery.
Like ostensibly, the Vatican would know like where Jesus' blood is.
You know, it
is.
Got all fucking Castlevania. I love that shit.
It did. It was crazy.
Jesus' blood. Yeah.
We need Jesus' blood.
Give me the holy water. And the holy water doesn't do shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that cross finally caught on fire. I'm like, when they were doing that and he was delivering that line and put the cross on that demon nun, it felt so weird and just out of place. Because normally you see it and instantly the cross starts smoking and you're like, it's having a direct effect. But he's just holding this
and
cross.
And it's not doing anything.
And screaming, and I'm like,
it's got to evaporate all the water before it can catch fire. Hello, physics.
Duh, stupid. Yeah, and that, you know, that bit where they finally get down into the catacombs and they're looking for the eye of hell. And you see that scene where it's a little bit of water and it's all the nuns in that room. Like, I didn't hate that scene.
Are you talking about the one where they were lined up like
a Silent Hill scene? Yeah, that was the Silent Hills.
Yeah, and they're all moving around, all synchronized and all that. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, wait, the Silent Hill
ones. That was the nuns in Silent Hill.
The one scene that I really liked was...
I'm sorry, I'm drinking too much.
Like, right around that same time when you see, like, the six or seven nuns with their habits, like, in the shadows, and they're lined up kind of like a hardcore band.
Yeah.
Well, I guess more like Ghost, probably. One of those. But I was like, yo, that's a pretty tight computer background right there.
Tight.
Hella tight.
All the nuns.
And I love the, on top of everything else, I love sort of, like, the forced in showing of pentagrams, because I was like,
oh yeah,
I go, who the fuck is this movie playing for? Like,
it starts carving a pentagram on her shoulder and all that.
Dude, what the fuck is that?
When they had the bedroom scene and the cross is slowly turning upside down, people in the theater were laughing.
Yeah.
The second time they were
the best
laughing.
Part was there was like some guy in the theater just like anytime things were getting like
supposed to be spooky.
Yeah, like paint by number scary, he would just go
he was like ramping himself up to get scared.
It was like, but people just started laughing
people
at
were
it
laughing because
yeah
of him.
those two cross slowly turning scenes, I go, no dude, there's no way they're doing this. The first time, the second time, I was like, What?
You're like, oh, they're no longer questioning my intelligence. They just think I'm a fucking idiot.
They just think I'm a fucking retard now.
Yeah, zero respect for the audience.
God damn, dude.
Spoon feeding you without even asking you if you want what they're feeding you.
Since you're bringing it up, okay, that's when the second time they do the crosses rotating, she's waking up in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What follows that, to me, I thought was a pretty good little set piece.
Right, where the nun is sort of facing away from her, praying on her knees, right? Yeah.
All that stuff. And then
her rosary breaks and the beads slide across the floor.
Yeah, and they do-do, like, it's doo-doo. Just trick. They do-do. What the fuck?
So sometimes you gotta eat the doo-doo.
It's tricks. It's just tricks, but they do the tricks, like she.
But this cool.
They're
tricks.
Doing a jump scare, and then it's followed by her looking behind her and hearing something, and all that. You know, the sounds bouncing around. Like they were trying to throw everything they could in that little set piece. I thought. So that one, that whole like wanting to do this like kind of haunted castle movie, in that sense, that's, you know, there's like these haunted castle movies from the 50s. You know, it kind of felt like that for a second. It would have been cool to fucking just have that the whole time if you're gonna do
right
that.
Well, yeah, and I think,
but
I
then
think,
you can't tie it into
well you get
the rest of them.
All sure. Well, and you need characters you give a fuck about, which was not going on.
Well, you know, we talked exactly. We talked about earlier about there only being three characters, you know, to actually interact with. What would have been more neat is if they had sent like a team, like a couple few priests, a fucking cadre of nuns, and have Valak just fucking go nuts on these bitches.
Even like paranormal investigators going with them.
Or let them disappear all
in
creepy ways.
You could have set up some really good sequences there.
Yeah, as hell a precursor. Yeah,
dude.
They would have all just got scared because none of them got
zombies,
dead.
Yeah.
I think the...
And like all of the scares that happen outside the castle, I go, well, as long as you're not in the castle, you're fucking fine. You just got zombied a little bit, and you sneak off into town, and for some reason the people are fucking covering their mirrors with cloths.
It's
and
so people don't become ghosts.
And homeboy is carrying a fucking big ass cross with him, and I'm just
he
like,
stole the shotgun from that bar too.
He did.
What a dick.
Frenchy ass bitch.
French Canadian.
I am Le French Canadian. Oui, oui.
He says that. He said, I'm French Canadian.
Twice he says it.
That's good, dude. That's good. Dude.
Which ones are the French ones?
What do you mean?
Where are they from? The French Canadians. That's Montreal,
right?
It's like everywhere.
Canada.
But like
most
Montreal, like Montreux.
And
is like
Quebec.
Quebec.
Right?
And they're in Romania.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Well, his whole motivation to be in this town is, I just want to help the people.
That's
it's
really
like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you, right.
Is that it? He wanted to help the people? It seemed like he wanted to help himself.
He saw a crossword puzzle. He wanted to
dip his tip, more like it.
Yeah, as soon as he sees her, he just turns into a freaking, yeah.
He's like, look at my fucking crotch, you stupid woman.
And then when he finds out she's a nun, his first response is to put his shoes on. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, sister.
And not only that, but he still fucking crotch dusts her right in her face as he's like, excuse me with my dick. Fuck you, man.
You and your dick.
Let's be fair. Alia would have done it too. To Thaisa Farmiga. Oh, Miscusi.
Miscusi, here's my actual butthole. God. Wow. Fucking movie.
And she's dressed like a nun.
Girls like nuns sometimes too.
Wait a minute.
That's what I'm saying.
The little booking they do where they're showing the couple. Later on in the 70s.
Yeah. The beginning of The Conjuring is what that is.
What's their last name again? The Warrens.
The Warrens.
And then, so it just shows them doing the exorcism trying to do an exorcism on Frenchie down the line. And it shows Farmiga, Vera Farmiga.
Yeah.
And she just screams like, ah! And then it goes to the credits.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fucking dumb. That was really...
That's
not an ending.
She's seeing the visions of her husband's death.
I you mentioned it earlier. It just felt.
I think they should have just ended
bad
it
ending,
like
anyway.
Even, so abrupt. Even like the theater's like,
what? Even him driving away and feeling it on his neck. It's like dun dun dun. Super cheesy.
Yeah. So then, like the whole. I mean, what's irritating about it is that this is an origin story about Valak, right? And the whole movie
is about
basically
Valak at all.
Right, but the whole movie is basically meaningless, which is troubling to me because, like, you know, if there had been,
go ahead.
No.
Finish your idea.
The whole deal is that, like, okay, you know, there's very high stakes that we gotta close this hole, you know, this hole into hell with Jesus's blood, and we're doing this thing with Jesus's blood, and we finally close a hole, and Valak goes into the fucking hole, but then it doesn't mean anything because Valak is still fucking she's still managed to infect Frenchie, which is crazy to me.
Well, I think she had got him earlier because, like, he fucking mushed her with some Jesus blood and then started going back in the hole, and Thaisa Farmiga was running away, and the nun's like, nope, gotcha, bitch, and grabbed Frenchie. And I think that's when he got possessed right there. So I think the rest was just kind of like
show.
The whole movie was for that point.
Yeah.
To get Frenchie possessed.
Yep. And then the priest gets like a snake down his throat.
And I thought he was going to die the whole time. Like, especially when he came back, I was like, oh, nope. He's back to die.
He's the catalyst for this whole shitty franchise.
When he comes back, I was like, where the fuck was he?
Right,
what was he doing?
He was just out. They told
drinking
him. They told him go back to town. It's safer there. But like then he just shows up
with an axe.
Yeah, with an axe and a fucking shotgun.
She's like, Frenchie.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
I'm here to touch your titties.
Yeah. And she's dressed as a nun.
You keep saying that.
He has a nun thing. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah, we've gone from Song of Solomon to this, and arguably, I think Song of Solomon, at least, you know,
I liked it more. That's for sure.
It was not as bad.
Hail Satan! Stab.
Fuck, man.
That's good.
Do you think this can't be the end of this whole thing,
fuck
right?
Like, no. Fuck no, not with
what's
that money either.
They made six times their budget opening weekend.
Forever.
53 million opening weekend domestic, 130 million worldwide. 130 million worldwide.
They're going to make these things forever. We're fucked.
On a $22 million budget.
You know what?
But can we just not watch any more of them until we hear some of it?
Well, since I'm doing this, did you guys appreciate The Conjuring 1 and 2?
So I liked the first Conjuring quite a bit. I thought that
they've all become mushed in my mind and I can't.
The first Conjuring is the one with the fucking clapping. Like, that's the first one to introduce, like, the clapping throughout the house.
Okay, yeah.
That, I really like the Conjuring one.
First Conjuring is the one with the clapping?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of liked Annabelle, the first one.
I kind of did, too. Especially that one scene where it's that elevator scene in the hallway. That was a really effective scene.
I don't
scene.
Remember any of it.
Okay,
I just remember that I liked it.
Annabelle Creation was fucking horseshit.
It was garbage.
Let's see. Conjuring 2 was kind of horseshit.
Okay. I liked the first Conjuring quite a bit.
Yeah.
I thought the Conjuring 2 was fun. I had fun with it. And the three fucking bad guys. and all that. There's mm-hmm. that. Yeah, and both Annabelles. Not
wait, Conjuring 2. That's the one where
the British family. And they got like the dude with the big long legs, oh, and he's fucking. That. And then they have the nuns in there, and then they have the fucking. There's another thing in there that plagues them.
Yeah,
there's like three different things that are plaguing them.
See, to me,
that's not like, the one with like the paranormal investigators. Not the two paranormal investigators, but the three like.
I think it is the first three that try to come. There's a house in it's in the middle of
and like the main
the suburbs.
There's like one girl that's getting haunted, yeah. And she's the only one that survives. And then the guy like kisses her at the end, even though it's totally creepy.
I believe I don't remember the.
Were kiss Are you thing. Thinking of Insidious?
Yes.
Okay. See, and that's the thing for me is the Conjuring movies, they the Insidious movies, the Sinister movies,
kind of...
and the fucking Paranormal Activity movies all kind of came out at the same time. They're throw all kind it. Of the same.
Well, at least Paranormal Activity, those movies, at least they're memorable, I think. To me...
I mean, like the first one was.
To me, the Conjuring, Sinister, and Insidious have all kind of been mushed into this fucking glob of film that I don't... Like... Right now we're talking about it, and I go, "Was that fucking Sinister? Was that Darth Maul and fucking The Conjuring?"
I'm not trying to sound fucking overly whatever here. I can tell the difference when James Wan directs one of these movies. Both those Conjuring movies feel different to me than any
other stuff.
To me, yeah, no, because there's a level of skill like in those scenes, even if these are manipulative movies, the clapping thing, the blah blah blah, but like he. The way the camera it navigates a house, like he does the geography of a house. I'm mentioning this because you know where things are happening in these movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like Annabelle, especially that second one where they're out in the fucking crops and shit. It's like what you know, it's all over the place. Like they're out in a barn, then they're in the house, et cetera, et cetera. But James Wan, I think he's got this kind of
got a touch,
sense
yeah.
enough.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, even in this there's one, a like, flow to there's it no, that's different. You have no fucking bearing on where anything is happening.
No,
on,
spatially, on this, absolutely
castle.
Not.
Like, yeah. Are we in the catacombs that are well, like the yeah, lower they, catacombs?
That's fucking exactly.
Are we
right.
in the nunnery? Are we in that front room that has a gate in front
we
of
have
it?
No
why?
Idea
why
how
is
far
he in that room?
It looks
actually,
nice, but I have no idea where things yeah. are. Like if you think of The Shining, you have a fucking perfect idea of where things are in the hotel mm-hmm. until he doesn't want you to. Then you get disoriented because the halls start repeating themselves and all that kind of thing. But the you know, there's a thing that directors do where they lay out the geography, especially in these horror movies. So you know where things are happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's
he's
like
good.
A subtle subconscious so, yeah. thing that you.
Yeah, but he has to plant. They have to do a lot of planting.
Yeah, it's not for them.
Yeah.
But for the watcher.
Exactly, it's supposed to
flow
naturally.
Unless you're watching for that.
So
for
get sure. this. So James Wan has got coming up producer credits. He's got this is kind of interesting. The Curse of La Llorona, which should be really interesting. But he's also got
that's such an old
Aquaman,
myth, like,
an untitled right. Annabelle project. But here we go. We got The Crooked Man, which is a spinoff from The Conjuring.
Conjuring 2, that guy, yeah.
We got The Conjuring 3 coming up. So who the fuck knows what's going to happen in Conjuring 3 and Crooked Man?
There'll probably be another Annabelle. There'll probably be another. Oh, he said there's an untitled Annabelle.
Yeah.
There'll probably be another nun after this.
Because it's made way too much money.
So we've got
honestly,
at least
I'm kind
three
of happy that like people who are specializing in horror stuff are making this much money. That's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I just wish they made better movies.
Yeah,
like
well.
Like more, I mean, who is this for?
Pros and cons.
Everybody.
Who is this for?
Who is this for?
I think this is fans of this series. Like I
just fans of the series?
Yeah.
I mean, who else would like it?
Who would, I mean, that's the thing. Who would
fans,
find it scary?
Fans of those series and people who find any of those movies
I don't,
just like really, really compelling.
I don't feel like the religious imagery is strong enough to be
a catalyst for yeah me either
it's no fade. Exorcist for sure
yeah
it'll fade no because I mean you got you with box office for instance they talk about a multiplier meaning like what it ends up making compared to its first weekend
mm-hmm.
The Conjuring series is all over the map like the first one though made like in excess of 3 or 4 times its opening weekend because it was the first in the series and it caused a significant buzz. I mean that
yeah.
movie
right.
it was
yeah.
That was a sleeper hit.
We
that
went
summer.
And saw mm-hmm. it like a couple weeks after it came out. I
right.
remember vividly like hearing so much about it.
Right. This one has is this one is going to be very front loaded, I think. Except that we are in September. September's usually a fucking dumping ground.
Mm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's still
not
number
for
one
horror,
next weekend.
Though.
Not for horror, not now yeah. since it. Like it freaking had
one,
that record, $123 million.
One now there's gonna be what is there? There's Predator coming up. There's that new Nick Cage movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's ton of horror movies coming out in the next couple weeks.
Speaking of it, did you guys hear about that? The announcement like a week ago of what the scene that's going to be included?
Is it the
ritual? The ritual of Hood?
What is that?
That's the gangbang scene.
The kids? Yeah.
So it's.
I thought they weren't including
that. Well, so that's the thing. So we don't know if it's kid side or if it's they're going to jam it over to the adult side.
Yeah, like a
which
monologue.
If they did that, I think would make at least
I hope Jessica they draw Chastain. It out to be like 20 minutes.
Draw it out for 20 minutes. Yeah.
They should probably make that the second now act of the film.
Just the whole thing.
Yeah. 3 hour movie, 1 hour gang.
Watch you get bored.
You know what though? I mean, seriously,
I would be done after 2 minutes.
Because a lot of movies they mess with that sex and death thing, right? So this would be really cool though if they do this fucking orgy thing in the middle of this movie, I have to say.
Or like right at the beginning.
Oh, right at the beginning.
Yeah, they're just fucking.
Are they all adults already? I don't remember if they were adults at the end of the first one.
At the end? No, they're still kids.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Just the movie starts that with would a fucking be great. Orgy.
You just hear like,
what is going
then,
on?
Like, it pans out, and you're like, oh, what's the redhead's name?
Barb.
Is it Barb?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beverly.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was going to say Barb is Stranger Things. Yeah, you just see Beverly and like Richie, and you're like, oh, that's cool, good for them. And then it pans back, and there's Mike, and there's like everybody else.
Just waiting in line. Yep. Just all hanging.
No, they're
thong.
All just jerking their dicks. Standing around, fluffing it up.
Jesus Christ.
That's what dudes do in half of those. They like get it for a minute, and then they move along, and then they sit there and just slowly jerk it.
Just staring at each other. Gross.
Trying not to look at each other. Yeah. That's why it's soft.
So... The Nun.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Don't give it none your money.
Yeah.
Don't give it none your money. Okay, I got to repeat. Yeah, that's good. Because I'm on my way over, I'm like, how am I going to say Nunya? Because I'm just going to say it without any context.
Just you're going to say Nunya, we're going to be like, what?
I saw the Nunya.
Nunya.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Nunya should watch this shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, look at that.
There it is. He did it.
I've been doing this for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, do.
Been living with this for a while.
Don't watch this movie. Well, if you've got
video, Redbox this fucking movie because you're curious. I know
if
you're curious.
If you've got an AMC Stubbs pass, you've got a fucking movie to burn, go watch it.
I burned two. I did the first one in Dolby and I did the second one in IMAX. Like, IMAX is way smaller than I thought it was. Didn't notice a difference, except it was way louder than Dolby.
That's basically what IMAX is. It's just it's louder. Mostly sound, yeah.
Shit, it was super loud.
I did see it in the Dolby theater. Have you done the Dolby theater at AMC?
Yeah, the seats vibrated. It was so loud.
Yeah, and the sound bounces around.
Yeah.
Which was cool. I'm eager to see a good movie
you're watching that theater. The screen, and you can see things, but you can hear something coming from the side, and then the camera swings, and then you're looking at that side where you
hear
shit coming
back.
From.
Yeah. And then it swings back again, and then you get jump scared.
Yeah.
They at least tried to, like, make it less predictable, you know? Like, even in the trailer where she turns around, she sees the one nun, and then it comes from the side. They tried to do that where it wasn't right when you expected it, but it was like a couple seconds afterwards.
I was hoping they were going to do a scene from The Exorcist where the nun comes across the screen with the fucking garden shears. That would have been rad.
An homage?
Yeah.
Didn't you say you caught like an Exorcist nod? Like when they walked in or something?
Oh, the very beginning.
Everything
the priest,
was
dude.
Kind
yeah,
of
like the priest, with the shadow down the stairs when they first walked in the fucking... building, but
this fucking movie. All right, well, that's it for episode 180. Don't watch this movie. Nope. Oh, Matt Smith, what's the links?
You can find us on most social media platforms: Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram are all Who Goes There Podcast. Twitter and Letterboxd are at Who Goes There Pod. And if you're available, why not come out to the Telluride Horror Show the second weekend of October and hang out with me and Alia and Mitch Snyder and Jacob Seaver and Alan
Catch a bunch
and Stephanie
of
and all these other cool
probably
people.
Probably we'll do a couple of them next year.
Probably, yeah.
I'm sure we'll get around through it. I have a theory that
Halloween
is going to play there.
You're probably right.
Because they did Bone Tomahawk the week before it came out. But
are we going to go see Halloween if it's playing? Like, do we have to go see Halloween?
I mean, we don't have to if it's playing. We can go to like...
It depends on what else is playing, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for episode 180. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye-bye from Alia.
This is Rhett.
Yeah, bro. There we go. Now yeah.
You edited me last time when I did Rhett. Goofy shit afterwards.
Some of it.
Are you going to edit this one?
No. Okay. You're all the way in.
All right, we're all in now.
Just don't use your slide whistle.
Okay. It's hard.
Bye, dummies. I hate this movie's guts.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.